Imagine your body is like a freshly shaken bottle of soda. You know, you're climbing back onto the boat, dripping wet after this amazing scuba dive, and right now your bloodstream is just full of invisible gases under pressure.
Yeah, and if you pop that cap too fast, things get incredibly dangerous.
Okay, let's unpack this. Today's deep dive is all about that delicate post-dive window for you, the listener. We are looking at the essential prohibitions. Basically, the activities you absolutely must avoid immediately after diving so you don't accidentally pop the cap.
Because, I mean, the dive doesn't magically end just because your head breaks the surface. Your body is still dealing with the physics of the ocean.
Right.
While you were down there breathing compressed air, your tissues absorbed a significant amount of nitrogen. Returning safely to normal means giving that nitrogen time to, slowly dissolve back into your blood and exit through your lungs.
Which is that process called off-gassing.
Exactly. Which brings us to how you move through the rest of your vacation day. The rules strictly forbid flying, mountain climbing, and zip lining.
Yeah, going up is a major red flag.
I mean, flying on a commercial jet makes intuitive sense because of cabin pressure. But I have to ask about zip lining. Like, why is a quick, fun canopy tour lumped in with boarding a Boeing 737?
Well, what's fascinating here is that there's a clear pattern. It's not just about airplanes or heavy machinery, it's about atmospheric pressure. When you go up in elevation, whether you're flying, driving up a mountain pass, or heading up to a high zip line platform, the air pressure around you drops.
Oh, so back to the shaken soda analogy.
Right. Lowering the outside pressure too quickly allows that trapped nitrogen in your tissues to expand into larger bubbles. That is exactly what causes decompression sickness, also known as the bends.
Wait, really? So just going up a hill can trigger that?
Absolutely. It's about the altitude drop. You have to give your body enough time at sea level to safely off-gas before going up. Usually that's a 12 to 24-hour window, depending on your dive profile.
Okay, so going up an elevation is a trap because of the pressure drop. I'd naturally assume, well, staying at sea level and staying active is a safe bet.
You think so, yeah.
But the source shuts that down too. Exercising after diving and even free diving are completely banned. I get skipping the gym. It's like running a marathon and then immediately trying to sprint. But I want to push back on free diving.
Okay, go for it.
Isn't free diving just more of the same activity? You're already wet, you're at the exact same beach, you're just ditching the air tanks. Why is holding your breath to look at a shallow reef so dangerous?
Because free diving still subjects your body to massive pressure swings. When you hold your breath and dive down, the ambient pressure increases again, squeezing any micro bubbles of nitrogen still lingering in your system.
And then you shoot back up to the surface for air.
Yeah, and those bubbles expand rapidly. You're basically playing an accordion with the nitrogen in your body.
Oh, wow. That sounds terrible. And what about hitting the gym?
Well, heavy exercise spikes your heart rate and forces intense blood flow to your muscles and joints. That heightened circulation can physically push dissolved nitrogen into localized areas.
So it gets trapped there.
Exactly. Triggering bubble formation before it can even reach your lungs. The text strictly separates scuba from free diving or the gym, indicating your body requires absolute rest.
Here's where it gets really interesting. If altitude and exertion are out, passive relaxation has to be the answer.
Right, logically.
But the source throws a massive curveball here. Deep tissue massages, relaxing in a hot tub, taking a really hot shower, and excessive drinking are all explicitly off limits.
Yep, they are.
I completely understand why heavy drinking is a bad idea post-dive, but a hot shower, a massage, those are like the ultimate vacation recovery tools.
I mean, they feel great, sure, but think about what heat and massage actually do to your circulatory system. A hot shower or a hot tub artificially spikes your surface temperature.
Right, causing the capillaries near your skin to expand rapidly.
Exactly, which dramatically alters how fast nitrogen is drawn out of your tissues. You want a slow, even release, not some sudden, uneven rush.
And a deep tissue massage, does it do the same thing?
It physically manipulates your muscles. You could literally be pushing blood and those dissolved nitrogen microbubbles into tight spots.
Ouch, encouraging them to cluster and cause localized tissue pain.
Yeah. The source groups these seemingly soothing activities with excessive drinking because alcohol does the exact same thing. It artificially alters your circulation, speeds up your heart rate, and dehydrates you.
And thick, dehydrated blood is just terrible at safely carrying nitrogen to your lungs.
Precisely.
So what does this all mean for you, the listener? It means your post-dive itinerary is entirely dictated by the invisible physics happening inside your bloodstream.
It really is.
You have to rule out heights, skip the heavy workout, and delay that hot shower until enough time has passed for your body to safely reset.
That 12 to 24 hour buffer is non-negotiable. Time is your primary safety tool.
It really leaves you with something to chew on. If something as innocent and comforting as taking a hot shower is classified as an essential prohibition, it makes you wonder just how profoundly being underwater temporarily alters our basic human physiology. It's crazy to think about.
Keep that soda bottle closed, give yourself time, and let everything settle.